Welcome back to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast. And in today's episode, we have another special guest on the show, another Gallup Certified Strengths Coach, Dr. V. And she came on this show to talk a little bit about how DISC, the DISC assessment and strengths finders, how she's seen them used in the past, how she's experienced the usage of both in the past. And we talk about some of the differences between the two, some of the similarities, some of the correlations between them all. And I love this conversation, one, because Valencia, as Dr. V, came so prepared, so many great insights, and I just love the information that she shared, and I hope you will as well. So let me tell you a little bit about our special guest. So Dr. Valencia Moses is the founder of Vibrant Coaching that provides encouraging accountability for individuals or teams to move from where they are to where they would like to be personally, academically, and or professionally. As a Gallup Certified Strengths Coach, she specializes in helping people own their unique identities using the Clifton Strengths Assessment as one of the many tools to help people live their best lives on purpose. So get ready to enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast, where we are changing the wave of the future. Like it or not, the world has changed, and as an exceptional leader, you have to change with it or risk being left behind. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I'm here to help you navigate this new leadership style. Inside the podcast, you'll discover what your team really wants and needs from you, how to tap into your God-given talents, how to increase your productivity with a strengths-based team, and how to realign with your North Star to truly enjoy your work and your life. This podcast will inspire and empower you today so you can elevate your influence into the future. If you're ready to step out of your comfort zone, then untie those dock lines and jump on board as we begin navigating your leadership. Welcome back to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast. This is your host, Sherry Miter, and I am so thrilled to bring my new friend, Dr. V of Valencia. I love your first name. to the show. She is another strengths coach and also another person who's used assessments in her past or seen the power and the dispower sometimes of assessments. So we're going to continue this conversation on strengths versus all the other, well, probably not all the other assessments, but a lot of assessments out there in the world. So welcome to the podcast, Dr. V.
Thank you so much. And you said that I thought about in this corner, we have Clifton Strengths Assessment. And looking forward to the conversation. In the other corner will be DISC for today, but it'll be a nice fight, a friendly fight of sorts.
Absolutely. Because there is power in both, you know, there's definitely power in all assessments and, or most assessments. I should never say all or never or all those words, but in most assessments. But before we jump into that conversation and, you know, get the boxers on the ring, right?
Yeah.
Tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and how you got to where you are today.
All right. Well, my name is Dr. Valencia Moses, and I go by Dr. V just to honor that I was blessed to get all of my education paid for, and also in memory of my late brother who called me Doc years before I earned the title. So that's part of that story. But I'm originally from Arkansas, and I'm coming to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio. Ohio is the sixth state that I've lived in, and a lot of my moves are associated with where I went to school. I got my master's from Vanderbilt's Peabody College in Nashville, Tennessee. Got my PhD from Michigan State University in East Lansing, Michigan. I worked as a training specialist for a restaurant company in Athens, Georgia. Have some experience with community college when I lived in Illinois. And I have some more experience with a community college I currently work with part-time. And in 2019, I became a business owner, founded Vibrant Coaching. And I'm looking forward to this conversation today because of the experience I had with Clifton Strengths Assessment, commonly refer to as StrengthsFinder, it just really unlocked some things in me and motivated me to learn more about the assessment. And ultimately, I became a Gallup certified strengths coach in August of 2019 and started my business Vibrant Coaching in September of 2019. So just celebrated a 2-year business anniversary and also got my paperwork from the state of Ohio on my business anniversary. So I hope that's like a little bit of an overview, a little bit of a teaser. And I'll be happy to answer any more questions that you have about like who I am, where I am. So How's that for starters?
That's a great place to start. And I always say, you know, when I do interviews, I can take conversations. We can go in a whole other direction than we planned. I'm going to try not to do that today. But I would just, you know, I was a military brat. Mm. So I can so relate to living and moving and, you know, multiple, I don't even know how many states I lived in, but I love that when people are open to traveling to places that they feel called to go to, whether it is for school or business or life. Mm-hmm. And that's in itself is such a act of courage, really. So I applaud you for following where life led you to which school and doing all of that. So I have to ask a little travel or a little bit of a question on that. Which was your favorite place to live and why?
I'm going to say Ohio is becoming my favorite place because this has been a very intentional move. And so moving because of a faith-based community that I had gotten to know like 2 years ago. So kind of moving to a place with community, also moving after getting a position, even though I made the decision to move before I got hired at Cincinnati State. And so it's like all the aspects of life are converging in this place. And I feel like I'm going to start putting down some roots in some ways that I haven't in other places. So even though it's new, it's very welcoming and exciting. I have like a to-do list of like architecture to check out and just explore the area, the history. But I think it's the connections that I made with people starting about 2 years ago that make this such a fun place to be.
Oh, I love that. I have a good friend who lives in Columbus, Ohio. We'll have to connect you with her. It's a great place because it is so central too. Like you don't think of Ohio as being central, but having with my friend living there, I realized because we were just talking yesterday and she was like, well, I could really drive there, meaning Atlanta. And then she could drive here and she could drive there. It's like, well, you really are in a central location.
Well, speaking of central, the last time I was in Columbus, well, maybe the next to the last time I was there, I think I heard that Columbus is like a microcosm of the larger United States in terms of demographics. And so in the past, if they wanted to know if a business, especially a restaurant, was going to make it, they would have a test market in Columbus before scaling up. So random but true, when I was in Columbus years and years ago, Raising Cane's was just testing before going national. And in 2021, they are very much a presence as a restaurant, but that's a random factoid, another way that they're central from, you know, word on the street.
That's really cool. That's a great fun fact. You never know what you're going to learn on the Navigating Your Leadership podcast. So tell us, what are your top 5 strengths?
All right. My top 5 in order are strategic, relator, learner, positivity, and ideation.
That makes sense that you have learner in your top 5 with your PhD. You never stop learning, right?
Yeah. And then also I tell people, you know, it can also be that process where you enjoy the journey. So learner doesn't have to have an end. It's a little bit more about the means, like the exploration is fun. And so, you know, if you're one of those people who maybe, you know, you have learner in your top five, or you're curious, have you ever gone on the internet just looking up things and then you end up going down like several rabbit holes and have all these tabs open? It's just the joy of finding information. Whereas some of the other talent themes, there's a reason for the exploration. So yeah, I guess I've been a lifelong learner before it was trendy.
And I like that explanation. I have learner in my top 10. It's not in my top five, but it is in my, I'm not sure if it's seven or eight, but I see that. I use that all the time to a fault, my husband would say, because my thing is books. I'm a book junkie and I'm always, and I don't care if I finish the book. Like, I know that would be a taboo for so many people.
You are the first person I've heard ever admit that, because I know there are a lot of people who don't finish books.
Because it's the learning process. Like you said, it's that, okay, I kind of feel like I got what I needed to get out of this book. Now I want to learn something new. Now I'm off to this thing. And I always have a variety of subjects going. I may have two or three books going at a time, depending on, you know, some I read right before I go to bed and some I need more brain capacity to read in the middle of the afternoon, but I love my learner. And I also find, like, when I'm not, if we're on vacation or going someplace that my brain really hasn't learned anything, I get itchy. Like, do you find that? Like, you just get kind of antsy, like, I got to go learn something.
Well, I think because of the way that ideation is in my top five, I'm always thinking about something or have ideas. So I can be inspired in nature with the idea. And so maybe I'll make note of, oh, I want to find out more about that. Or what was the name of, you know, that place? So I think that ideation might keep me fed in times where the learner isn't getting maybe the same stimulus.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I did say, since I've kind of really dove in and literally learning all of these things about myself, I have expressed that to my husband, like, my ideal vacation has to include something that I learned. Whether we go on a great wine tasting adventure and I just learn about some great wines and how, you know, somebody grows their vineyard, or, you know, he likes the beer. It could be even a beer tasting, but it has to incorporate something learning. You know, maybe it's a history thing. Maybe it's a restaurant, just different things like that. So it doesn't have to be like this grandiose thing I learn, but just something that I feel like, oh, my brain was fed a little bit.
Yeah. And that's what's so powerful about, you know, what we can learn through assessments, because we are able to kind of like tap into more of our potential. And in hearing you talk about it, like, make plans around what you find fulfilling.
Great. And great segue to get back to the ring. And let's talk about, and as you already shared, Dr. V, that this is not meant to be a strengths versus disc fight, because we need all assessments to really figure out different layers of us. We're all very intricate beings that are not, we're definitely not one-sided. There's so many different parts to us, and changing parts and moving parts. So it's meant to just kind of be a discussion on how they complement, but maybe how they differ, how one for this situation may be better than this one, and just, you know, different ways they're used to their best ability. And sometimes where one's not going to be what you need right now.
Yeah, and definitely some cautions.
Exactly. So I know you've had some experience with your own self and then some of your clients. So just take us wherever you want to go. The floor is yours. Share some stories and what your experience has been.
Yeah. I think I mentioned to you in an earlier conversation, Sherry, that I had an experience where I was just owning being the nerd that I am. And I was like doing a workshop and became acquainted with one of the people in the workshop. And I overheard her talking about how she had taken the DISC assessment. I too have DISC experience from my time working with a restaurant company. And I learned that while I was at the restaurant company, I experienced like the top notch DISC version, which gives you like 20 to 30 pages worth of report on you. And some of that is knowing about the assessment, but just learning more about your results. And I also experienced a super cheap version of DISC. So whenever you're looking for an assessment, sometimes be aware that there can be various versions of that assessment. So I don't know what version of DISC this particular, we'll say student, because she was a student in the workshop I was leading, had experienced. But I eventually connected with this student again, and she became one of my coaching clients. And one of the things that I wanted to know, like I was bold to be a nerd and reach out to her because I just wanted to know what was the difference in the experience with DISC compared to StrengthsFinder. So she used great language and I asked her, hey, can I like share that with people? Just because I've experienced DISC, but it just had been several years before her fresh encounter with the DISC assessment. And one of the things that she shared deals with how DISC a lot of times, in using some of her words, I'm going to use the phrase, what's the goal of the assessment? I would say that the goal of the assessment is to find out who you are as a person in social situations and what you can improve upon in your interactions with others. Because if we look at what the letters in DISC stand for, we have dominant, inspiring, cautious, supportive. And that is one interpretation of what DISC is all about. And what I find interesting, like I literally thought of this in preparation for our time together today. When you look at like the trademarked way that DISC is spelled out, the I is small. And I think we can learn something from that. The assessment goal, the goal of the assessment rather, is less about you and more about your interactions with others. And maybe that's like going too deep or overthinking, but that kind of jumped out at me today. And I've also noticed that the implementation, the application of the assessment could be summarized in this way. You have decisions about team formation and how to have better interpersonal communication. So a lot of corporations utilize DISC. I have some friends who are coaches who've gone through like John Maxwell's program. They have the option of being trained in DISC as a part of that certification process. And a lot of corporations use it to help make certain decisions. So some things to keep in mind when it comes to DISC as well, whoever disperses your access to the report owns it and has to share it with you. So when I left the restaurant company I used to work for, I hadn't saved it on like my personal computer or emailed it to myself. And I had some friends was like, hey, can I get a copy of my report? So that is something that may not always be true with DISC, but something to think about. When you're taking the DISC assessment, I'm in this space on LinkedIn where some leaders were talking about ways that you can tell how your answers are going to shape the outcome of the assessment. And that's significant because if an organization chooses to use DISC in decision-making, like performance evaluation or just review, at different points of your career in a space, that is significant. And I even have a friend who's still with that restaurant company who was very, very honest, like even painfully so, that the first time she took DISC, she took it with answering in a way that the supervisor who was going to see it would be glad that she hired her for the position. And then she took it in a more honest, this is who I am, this is how I show up, regardless of me being in the workplace. So there are some leaders who would share that as a caution, that it's a little bit easier to shape the results of that particular assessment. And another thing that can happen with DISC that I've seen in that implementation of the assessment is that sometimes it creates boxes for people. So like, oh, this is who you are based upon what's in your report. And sometimes you can miss the nuances from what makes a person unique with how I've seen DISC used in organizations. So I share those cautions just so you can keep that in mind, and keep in mind that the goal of the assessment, in my opinion and the opinions of people that I've talked to, is to really help you to know how you show up, how you can be perceived in interactions, and help you to kind of fix communication weaknesses, which is important because relationships make up our lives. And if we can get better in understanding how we show up and how we might be perceived, we have an opportunity to use that information to guide our choices and how we communicate with others. So I want to pause in case you have any questions, comments, ideas from what I've shared so far.
I love everything you have shared. So much insight. And I was just thinking with the, first of all, going back with the different assessments, and it's so true because we use that within, in the network marketing company I was with, DISC was very popular, but I'm not sure if anybody was really trained on how to use it. And, you know, when that's always the scary piece of it, when you're using something and nobody really knows how to use it for its benefit. And I feel like we had a tendency to put labels on people. Because once they took the assessment, and I was taught that it was, so even this piece is how, you know, sometimes we're miscued on things. It was dominant, influencing, secure, and conscientious. And, you know, so it became this label that we use all the time of, well, you know, you're safety and security, you're that security person, so of course you're going to act this way. Or you're dominant, so of course you're going to be this way. Or you're influencing, so we need you to be the life of the party. Or, you know, that conscientious, she's going to want to know all the questions answered. And it it automatically just became these labels. And we even used it in recruiting, which in
it's totally possible.
Right. And the key question I remember was always, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. And we had these like answers that if they answered this way, this is where they were going to be. And yes, to a point, it was usually pretty spot on and it was very helpful, but only on a, I'd almost say maybe superficial level, like on a very outside level. And I think, again, it was very helpful to a place, but then when you put these labels on people and you put them in the box, like you mentioned, that's where it can become, wait, there's so much more to that person than that label and that box. Let's let them come out of the box and share all the different layers of who they are which I feel like is where strengths is so great, because one, mm-hmm. you can't skew the answers. You would have to think really, really, really
there
hard.
There are 177 questions, right. And the way that they're asked, mm-hmm. because it was developed, I can't speak to this in terms of development, but it makes a difference when you have someone like Donald O. Clifton, who's credited as being the father of strengths-based psychology, who had a PhD in psychology. And if you want, I can kind of talk a little bit more about Clifton's strengths and kind of set up a comparison of sorts, if that's okay. Isn't that
sure.
a good time?
Yes, that sounds great.
So I kind of talked about the goal of the assessment for DISC, and I would say that the goal of the assessment with Clifton Strengths or Strengths Finder is to focus on what you do well and what is right with you. And that is what guided the creation of the assessment as it is today. And I think that is so profound, because let me just put it to you this way. How often do we hear about what is right with us and what we do well? And I love that, like, motivation, that underlying reason for the existence of StrengthsFinder. And I think when it comes to implementation and application of the assessment, one distinguishing feature is that you own your report. Now, if you're provided with a code, whoever provided you with the code can have access to your report. But that's so powerful that you own it. Your email address helps Gallup give you customer service around your report. And sometimes I have clients that have taken it before, want to use the same email, and there's a process for them to still benefit from that new access code so that they can see their fresh results. But one of the things that is significant about you owning access to your report, no matter what, it gives you different options. You know, you can have a self-paced experience. So you have access to your report, but you have this rich library of resources that's provided through Gallup. Like you can look at videos on your top five. You can read articles. You could get into research and get the white paper that explains like all the details when it comes to the assessment. You could explore your strengths in the context of a team or group. And I've worked with groups where you can do like a team grid and find out like what domains your strengths fall in, so that you can see where people are showing up and where there are some opportunities for creativity. And I'll come back to that point in a minute, why I use the word creativity. And then you ideally, you know, shameless plug for Gallup certified strengths coaches, you can get guidance from a Gallup certified coach. And that is significant. I want to emphasize that, because there's a standardization to StrengthsFinder. So if you get a copy of Clifton Strengths Assessment, it is going to be the same. That is another big plus, because we had a moment, for those of you who had your listening ears on, where the words Sherry used for DISC were different than the ones that I used, because it depends on whose version of DISC you're taking. Versus with StrengthsFinder, there is one assessment, and that helps just it to be even more powerful. Most of these assessment tests are reliable and valid, but I can speak to that more for StrengthsFinder versus DISC. And I want to be kind in what I say, because if you as a person go through significant life changes, your results, I think, should change. So I have people that I work with who are like, I took StrengthsFinder like 2 years ago, And I ask people, well, has your life changed? You know, are you wearing different hats? Have you moved? You know, kind of like those IRS questions when it's tax time. Like, if you've had significant change, if you want to make the investment, I encourage people to experience the assessment again, because I went through a powerful experience and I had some shifting. Ideation came up as my fifth, and connectedness shifted down to like number eight. But it was because I was learning more about myself and showing up more as myself. So the assessment, you know, shifted to fit what was going on in my life. So I share that because I don't want people to feel like that any assessment is less than, because it changed. Again, different assessments have different purposes. And I used that word creativity earlier because creativity is a part of what I've been learning about myself. And I think the journey that I've been on with StrengthsFinder has helped me to really come to know aspects of myself in ways that I haven't with other personality assessments. And every time I see one, I take it. I enjoy learning about myself and am a fan of what assessments can do. But I became a coach because of the impact knowing my strengths had on my life. A Zig Ziglar quote I heard through an audiobook while driving, what he referred to as Automobile University, I just love that, really will help me to explain my transformation. So Ziglar issued this challenge: don't become a wandering generality. Be a meaningful specific. When I heard that, my response was ouch before I was able to say amen. Like, I really sat with that idea of being a wandering generality or being a meaningful specific. And Gallup defines strength as talent times investment. So connecting Ziglar's quote to my experience, knowing my strengths equipped me with language to own my uniqueness and start living with an increased measure of intentionality. It helped me to get a sense of my life so that I could be a meaningful specific. It provided clarity and a freedom that made me passionate about going through the process to coach others through their transitions and into transformation to be able to experience success on their own terms. I love helping people mine the gold from the strengths language that provides like clients with greater self-awareness and empowers them or equips them in terms of personal leadership. Because I think a lot of assessments can build awareness, but one of the things that StrengthsFinders can really contribute is to help people lead themselves well. Donald O'Clifton, who I mentioned is credited as being the father of strengths-based psychology, he provided this insight: the more you do what you do best, the more hopeful you are. So knowing your strengths is an invitation to finding out what you do best. And I believe coaching is what I'm called to do, and it is an opportunity to increase hope in the lives of others. And I believe, maybe it's the positivity speaking, but I believe there is so much room for more hope in the world.
Wow, wow, wow. I just like am floored by everything you just shared on strengths and just your own empowerment statement, basically.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here listening to you. And so you are, over the course of the last couple of weeks, the third strengths, other Gallup certified strengths coach that I've talked to. And I have to say, I am, because every conversation has been different, totally different. But every conversation has been so impactful just to me, not even I'm hoping the listeners
enjoy it and we're having a good time.
But if not, I'm getting something out of it. And So anyway, my whole point here is I am so proud to be part of this community.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so very proud, because it is such an amazing community of coaches that have this passion for, you know, Clifton Strengths and all that Don Clifton believed in, and all the power that can happen when people dive in and discover what their unique talents are. And as you shared, invest in them so they become their strengths. And I love Zig Ziglar. I love his quote. And yes, I totally grew up on that whole premise of earning my, I do not have a PhD, but I earned a lot of education in my car.
Yes. Automobile University.
Yes. And that's one of the things I'm missing, not with COVID. Like, we don't go in our cars. At least I don't. I don't travel as much anymore. So,
well, I got a new car and it doesn't have a CD player.
Right.
And it's like, I understand why it doesn't.
Right.
But, you know, that's just going to, that is an adjustment
right.
that I'm still in the process of making.
But so it's all podcasts. It's all about the podcast.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. True story. And here's a little nugget. I don't know if another coach has shared this yet, but I saved this on my phone. Would you like to know Don Clifton's top five?
Sure. No, I don't think we have shared that yet. I think it'd be
fun. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, significance. Two, futuristic. Three, individualization. Four, focus. And five, maximizer. Awesome. And wow, significance at the top. He has definitely made a difference, created a legacy. And so I just wanted to nerd out for a little bit and share that trivia with you.
I love it. I love it. So as for starting to wrap up mm-hmm. the conversation, going back to the DISC and strengths, mm-hmm. what are the correlations you see? I just did a workshop this weekend with some leaders. And again, they were in the same network marketing company that I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So they're familiar with DISC because that's what we've used in that company. And they did ask the question, is there a correlation between DISC and strengths? And I had my answer, but I would love to hear how you see the correlation between the two.
Oh, wow. You know, that is such a good question. And I'm going to take just a few moments and think about it, because I did pull up my results and I'm going to just double check some of the like key themes that came up to kind of answer that question. So with the DISC, I believe the version I took, the S portion was like really highlighted for me. And in this particular assessment, I'm looking for like the S word, just so I can kind of get it right. But here's how it talks about my strength. Works according to a plan, doesn't make mistakes caused by arrogance, is patient and systematic. Just that top three right there really correlates well with strategic.
Right, right. I was having the same thought. Yes.
Okay, yay. Yes. And so, again, looking at my DISC report, how others may perceive you is like the second thing they mentioned. It gives an overview of you, how others may perceive you, how others may perceive your communication style, how others may perceive your decision making. There's a theme there, how others perceive you. Then it gets into what motivates you, whereas StrengthsFinder is all about digging into, especially with the coach, what is motivating, what shows up in your top five. And I believe, especially with a coach, you can get into those motivations just because there are resources we have as coaches to glean from that are not on the website. And the power of coaching is making an investment and time to reflect on you in ways that we don't do every day. So I think those are some of the top correlations. DISC will go into reactions to pressure situations because it's very focused on interpersonal, whereas StrengthsFinder is at a foundational level intrapersonal, so that you can own who you are, appreciate who you are, and aim who you are towards goals. So in learning about yourself, you can make choices to help be your best self on purpose, which is partially a tagline for my business, Vibrant Coaching, Be the Best You on Purpose. I like putting it that way because we are powerful people and we get to make choices. So I'll kind of stop there in terms of some of the correlations that I see.
And I, it's funny, I kind of did the same thing. I had to stop and I did not have my DISC. I haven't done that in a long time, but when I've done that in the past. And again, it was probably, as you mentioned earlier in the conversation, the cheaper version, not the more official version of it. But I was always across the board, D, and then I was like a step down. S was a step down, and then C dropped significantly.
Really?
And when I look at my top five or top 10, it actually does make sense, because in my top five, I'm futuristic, maximizer, strategic, self-assurance, and command. And I feel like, well, command definitely correlates with the D personality, and I lead with influencing and strategic thinking, and like executing. Focus is number 10 for me. And that's the first time executing shows up on my top 10, which I feel like, and I don't like details like that. All of that would be down in my top. So I do see that there are, I think it's kind of almost a fun comparison, you know, I don't know if comparison is the right word, but a fun thing, kind of like what you just did, to pull out both. If you have,
what do you
both,
learn? You know, right. What do you learn about yourself? And again, I think the best thing to keep in mind is that they are designed as assessments with different goals.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to that client who had just taken DISC and then took StrengthsFinder, that is a beautiful picture of how you can learn about how you may be coming across to others. And then you can learn about yourself. And I just had an experience with a new client I gained yesterday. And sometimes when people take DISC, it can impact them in a negative way because of some of the ways that the report can lead, you know, you to learn about yourself. And that can happen with maybe any assessment, but I haven't had anyone yet, to be fair, that has felt negative about themselves after seeing their top five.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
I think that's the best way I can put it. And I think that goes back to, again, the goal for the assessment. And so, you know, when it comes to communication, learning about how we're being perceived is not easy to confront. And DISC is all about that. Like, here's how you could be coming across to people, almost like the Johari window, your blind spots, what you don't know that you don't know about you. DISC is that kind of assessment. It can put things that you might be blind about on your radar. And then it becomes kind of the responsibility of whoever is administering the assessment to create a kind, compassionate space for going through the results. So you can use DISC and not have people, you know, stay in that place of, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm coming across as a know-it-all, or, you know, I'm bulldozing over everybody, you know. You can use that information. If this is how you're coming across, what do you want to do to kind of like help be less of a bulldozer And then I think organizations could benefit from re-administering DISC after kind of piloting some innovations or some changes to improve their culture, or to, you know, just practice being better teammates. And sometimes organizations can take a one and done approach with assessments. And DISC is one of those that I would totally advocate that you kind of create a baseline, help people to kind of get a sense of the changes that they want to make in their interactions with others, and then take it again. I think that would be fun. But again, I am a nerd. I do like data and research in qualitative ways. Statistics, I'm okay with them, but you know, I didn't do a quantitative dissertation. But those are just some things that being able to talk with you today, like, inspired me to think about. And you also asked me to kind of think about like a leadership quote and some books to recommend. Would now be a good time to share those?
Sure. Yes. Let's go ahead and do that before I forget, like I did last one. But actually, hold on one second.
I can just hold it. I can wait.
One more thing that as I was listening to you, which actually made a great summary to close this up. But for the listeners, if you haven't yet, listen to, it actually came out the week that Dr. V and I are recording this, but it came out on October 4th. I think it actually was season 3, episode 4 with Michael Williams. And we actually talked a lot about what you just shared, where DISC and any assessment, it just happened to be DISC, but any assessment used as a more personality type thing and not done with the proper coach or the proper tools to make it useful can turn ugly sometimes. And his story was one of those, where he, again, he felt labeled, and it just brought up about a lot of just a downward spiral. And so we have to be careful, and that can happen even in strengths, you know, that we can be start calling people by one of their strengths and labeling them that. And none of the assessments are meant to be labels. They're meant to just be, help us discover who we are at our best and who those we work with are at their best, so we can all work together in a much happier environment.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that, because that is what led me to invest in the process of becoming certified through Gallup, is that you can be someone who's gone through training. So no matter the assessment, I am a huge advocate of working with someone who's been trained by the providers of the assessment, or a group that has a great history with that assessment. Do your research, because there is damage that can be done when you do not work with people who have been vetted. And so that, I don't want to say like only work with someone who's Gallup certified, or, you know, who has gone through certifications, but just vet people before you put them in front of, you know, your teams or your people, because there is that chance that we just want to be good stewards of those in our charge. And the last thing I wanted to share about that is that I like StrengthsFinder because it becomes a way to continue having conversations with people. And I think that should be a goal of any assessment. Like, so even with DISC, oh, wow, you know, I see that you're really high with the C, the conscientious or the consistent. What does that look like for you? That's what I would like to see more of. And with StrengthsFinder, whenever I work with teams, like I just finished something with an organization a few weeks ago, I intentionally encourage that you ask people to tell you more about what's in their report versus approaching people like, oh yeah, I already figured you out. I know who you are. Because that's just a way to honor people, to kind of be in that role of a learner instead of like the knower when it comes to people, because there's so much that we're still learning about ourselves.
Oh, totally, totally. Could not agree with you more on all of what you just shared. And one last little thing. I think you and I, we could keep going, but one more thought, right?
Yeah.
The other thought too, is when it comes to the Clifton strengths is make mm-hmm. sure you do. And I don't mean that we keep plugging coaches, but we both obviously feel strongly about coaching or we wouldn't be in the positions we are. But whether you decide to work with a coach on strengths or you just take your own time to go into Gallup, really do the research. As Dr. V shared, Gallup provides so much information mm-hmm. because what I've seen happen a lot is sometimes we can look at the title, we can look at the name, and assume we know what it means.
Gallup does not define them.
No way that most people think about them. Absolutely not. So it definitely, you want to take the time to really read through your report. If you're working with a team, mm-hmm. share each other's reports like you already shared, and go into Gallup and really study them. There's a ton of different podcasts out there. I've done a Theme Thursday does it. Like, really get mm-hmm. to know, what does your theme, what does your talent even really mean? Because it may not be what you think it is at first glance.
Yeah, there's such a culture of celebration around your strengths too. Like, it feels like it's a party for you, about you, when you dive into all those resources. And speaking of resources, I want to share these two impactful books. One is by Valerie Burton, and that book is Successful Women Speak Differently. I mean, I listened to it as an audiobook, and after I listened to it, it's like, I have to own it. And another book that I listened to first, and then I owned it, read it like twice, did webinars on it, is Atomic Habits by James Clear. I have returned to that book multiple times, huge fan about it. And then because of our time together, the leadership quote that Sherry asked me to find, I decided I would use this quote because I like so many quotes. I collect them, but I wanted to share this quote by Donald O. Clifton. And here's what he has to say about leaders. What great leaders have in common is that each truly knows his or her strengths and can call on the right strength at the right time.
One of my favorite quotes by him. So thank you for sharing your time with us today, Dr. V. Thank you for your insights, your wisdom, your information, your honest feedback on both DISC and strengths mm-hmm. and how we can use them. And I just see beautiful things ahead for you in Ohio, and love the books. I do have Atomic Habits. I need to pull that one back out. I have not mm-hmm. read this other one. So thank you for that recommendation. And we'll put all of that in the show notes and also how to connect with Dr. V.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Sherry.
Yeah. So check out her Vibrant Coaching, Be Vibrant. So you can check that out too. And thank you for your time. I really enjoyed our conversation today.
Thank you so much. This is a great time for me as well.
Awesome. Thank you, friends, for hanging out today with myself and Dr. V. And as always, I hope you are walking away with some insights that will help you propel your leadership and support your team. And in fact, I would love to know, send me an email. Let me know what was one thing that you were taking away that you'll put into action, or one insight you got out of this conversation today. In the meanwhile, next week, we are going to be talking about the reasons it's going to be a solo episode. And I'll be sharing the reasons I'm so passionate about Clifton Strengths, and also some insights I've been learning as I've been out in the field doing some workshops in person, online, and the ahas that I am hearing from the participants in these workshops. So I can't wait to share all of that with you. And I have a really special announcement. So make sure you tune in on our next episode. You are not going to want to miss this announcement. All right. Until then, go out and make today count and enjoy life, because as you've heard me say before, life is short, so we have to enjoy the journey. My hope and prayer is that today's episode left you feeling inspired and empowered with some tangible steps to implement today. But honestly, the podcast is just the beginning. Through my coaching, my clients learn how to lean into their strengths to create their unique style of leadership, along with gaining strategies to create dynamic and productive teams, teams with a mutual passion and respect for each other. Whether you just need a few small course corrections or you feel like you need an entirely new ship to lead, I do love a challenge. I'd love to invite you to send me a DM, or better yet, let's hop on a call and see how we can continue this leadership journey together. The link to book a call is in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you.